Okay, today is part three of our shiurim on the Haggadah. Again, as we're going to do what we did the last 2 days, we're going to just run through very quickly. We're going to run through very quickly some short ideas on the Haggadah. And most of the ideas are not completed, they're half-baked ideas. This will give us yisoda, some ideas, choymer, and allow you to develop them on your own. One of the major themes of the Haggadah is the parasha of Bikurim. A major portion of the Haggadah we read the psukim of Bikurim, parashas Kisavo. Arami oivir aviv ayered mitzrayma bayavasham b'mseimot. We read the psukim of Bikurim and then we darsh and expound upon every single word of Bikurim and explain the midrashim and the memory chazal what each word means. The question is now, why did the Baal Haggadah, the Mesader Haggadah, choose the parsha of Bikurim, which we view? The Bikurim is when the Yisrael, the farmer, harvests his crop. He takes the first fruits, he brings it to Yerushalayim, he presents it before the Mizbeach, gives it to the Kohen, and he puts it down before the Mizbeach, and he says, this psukim, the Torah tells him exactly what to say. Arami, Ovid Avi, and he reviews the history of Klal Yisrael, a very short synopsis of the history of Klal Yisrael, and he thanks Hashem for the fruit that has grown, has developed, and he puts it before the Mizbeach, and he asks Hashem to bless him. So again, so why do we expound upon these psukim in the Haggadah? So simply you'll tell me it's because it's a very nice short summary. I mean, that's what it's all about. The Arami Lavami begins with the history of Klal Yisrael, and Yetzias Mitzrayim is the history of Klal Yisrael from the time of Avraham Avinu, the Bris Ben Absarim, and Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and the Golus, the Shibud, and so on and so forth, until we came out of Mitzrayim. And that's what the Psukim do in a very nice form, and it's divine, it's been given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what more could you possibly want if you want to write a summary of the Yitzias Mitzrayim, of the history of Klal Yisrael? Of course, you want a synopsis. I mean, this is a synopsis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself has given us. So it's ideal. Okay, that's a very, very good answer, and you don't really need anything more than that. However, Darshan have come along and have added, they have Ayam Panamatara. One idea that you've seen this idea in a few places, but yeah, it has to be developed. It's a very difficult idea. There is a Zohar. The Zohar says that the parasha of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the mention of Yetzias Mitzrayim, appears in the Torah exactly 50 times. Now, it's very difficult because it appears a lot more than 50 times. Not a lot more, but more. If you calculate, I never made the calculation. I'm sure there are people who have done this. But if you take it's very easy. Take out a computer, you just press a few buttons, and you can figure out exactly how many times in Torah Mitzrayim is mentioned. And it's mentioned more than 50 times. So the Rishonim asked this question, the Ramami Pano asked this question, among many others, and the answer they give is that we only mention Yetzias Mitzrayim l'shevach, only where it's mentioned in the positive form, where we mention something negative, that don't eat shrotzim because I took you out of Mitzrayim, and don't be contaminate yourself, don't do abominations like they were done in Egypt. Those psukim are not counted. Kol hamar b'lasav yitzias Mitzrayim, the siman is hareze meshubach. You only focus on the mentions of yitzias Mitzrayim that are mentioned positively and with a positive twist. Now that's a little bit of a riddle, and if you have the time, even if you have the time, you can go take out a chumash and go take out fun all the mentions of yitzias Mitzrayim. You can play around with this. Some people like to do this. They can go and they can figure out which mentions of Yetzias Mitzrayim are l'shvach, and you can make the calculation of 50. Now, what do I want with this? We want with this is the number 50. Why the number 50? That's a very significant number. We are very well aware that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to hasten the Geula, we really should have been in Mitzrayim for 400 years, but we left after 210 years, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that if we would wait there for one more moment, we were sinking lower and lower and lower. We were sinking to the 50th level of Tumah. We do not know what this means. Ein lanu etzik ben astaros, this is in Yenek Kabbalah, but we were sinking to a degree of Tumah where we would not be able to, we would be beyond hope. It would be impossible. And therefore, Hashem had no choice but to take us out the very last moment before we sunk into level number 50. So we see in the Yenek Kabbalah, there's something called 50. The number 50, there are 50 levels we count, and what more do you need than Shavuos? Shavuos is the 50th day. We count 49 days, 7 times 7, and day 50 is the Yom Tov of Shavuos Matan Torah. We are elevated from the 49 levels of Tumah, so it's not, no, it's Kabbalah, but it's practical Kabbalah. Kabbalah for the layman, because this is Judaism, right? You see, as Mitzrayim, we come Shavuos 50 days, Sriyas Omer. There, obviously, I'm not out of place to talk about the number 50. Bikurim mentions Yitzias Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, that's mentioned in the parasha Bikurim. Arami Ad Ravi, Vayer Mitzrayim, Vayer Gosham Bim Tzeimot, and Hoitzia HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mishom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. L'chol Hadeus, that is the 50th time where Yitzias Mitzrayim is mentioned. There are 50 times. I think it's the last time in the Torah. What?
Counting only the good ones or the bad?
The good ones. Only the good ones. No, there's not, but it has, because I don't think it's that's end of Kisavo.
The
last time in the Torah.
Fine.
So being that it's the last time it's mentioned in the Torah, it has to be number 50. It is number 50. And therefore that is why, because since the whole purpose of Yitzias Shrayim is to come out of this 50th level of Tumah, and it is the 50th time. And not only that, it's the 50th parasha in the Torah. There are 54 parashios in the Torah. We call them Gan. Gan, the Zohar calls it 53 parashios. There are Gan parashios. But we really have 54. There are 100 answers to explain the discrepancy between the Zohar that says there are 53, and our counting includes 54. Right now, let's just say very simply, the Tzav Vayelech will call one parasha. Okay, there are a lot of answers to explain this discrepancy, but there are 54 parashios. The 50th parasha, L'chol Hadeos, is parashas Kisavo. And Kisavo is where the parasha of Bikurim appears. So there are a lot of 50s associated with parashas Kisavo. It's the 50th parasha, and it is the 50th time when Yitzias Mitzrayim is mentioned. And since the whole purpose of Mitzrayim is not to sink to a point beyond hope, to a point where we will beyond repair, and the goal is like Shavuos is to bring us to day 50, the 50th level of Kedusha. That's why Bikurim is the candidate, because everything about Bikurim focuses on the number 50. Again, this is a half-baked idea which you can obviously develop on your own. Okay, another one. Yeah.
And Bikurim is brought
on Shavuos, which is the 50th day. On the 50th day. So everything about Bikurim points to the number 50, and 50 is a key number. It is the number of the Seder. There's four, the Dalabanim, but 50 is also an important number. Okay, let's go to another idea. Now, this idea I like very much. It's not necessarily related. You can use this idea for many, many things, but it also explains Bikurim. Let's go to the first Mishnah in Shas. What is the first Mishnah? We'll see Mashas coming up this summer, August 1st. And what does the first mission say? Ne'emosai korin shma da'arvis. When does one recite? When is the earliest time of person to recite kriya shma in the evening? And what does the mission answer? B'shah sheha koyhanim nichnasim le'echol bitru masal. And the koyhanim enter to eat their truma. What does that mean? Ask a child. How is it taught to you? How is it taught to you? It means that a kohen eats truma. But what happens if the kohen is tamei? So what does the kohen need to do? He needs to go to the mikvah. He goes to the mikvah during the day. Is he immediately allowed to eat truma after he goes to mikvah? Absolutely not. Person is an avatum, a rishon or a sheni. He goes to wherever he is. He goes to mikvah, and then he has to wait until the sun sets. Going to mikvah takes away the primary tuma, but there is some residual degree of tuma that remains upon the person's body, which goes away when the sun sets, when the day is over, Harev Shemesh, and then when the day is over, he now becomes completely tohar, and now is allowed to eat truma. To eat truma in a state of tuma is the chi of misa bidei shomayim. So the kohen very careful. They go to Nigva during the day. They wait until the sun sets, until it becomes dark. Ah, it becomes dark. They can see the three stars in the sky. That means now they are on 100% tar. They are now allowed to eat truma. And along comes the Mishnah, the first Mishnah in Shas. Bang! At that moment when the Koyhanim are allowed to eat truma, truma which the Yisraelim give the Koyhanim, now is the same exact time when you're allowed to begin reciting Kriya Shema. You can say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elohim Hashem Echad, and you're making the mitzvah deraisa of Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. Which you have to be very careful. Zman Azeh, many people are nichshel on this, because Zman Azeh, where everyone davens early, daven Mincha Maariv together, Friday night and Yom Tov, especially most shuls come on, every shul davens Maariv before the Zman, and you have to be very careful to repeat Kriya Shema, after Tzeis HaKacham. Okay, fine. Now, that's the simple interpretation, which is the way I was taught, the way you were taught, the way the whole world learned Shat in the Mishnah. However, there's another interpretation, brilliant interpretation, and answers many questions. And Truma does not necessarily refer to the Truma with these that the Yisrael gives the Kohen. Truma in the first Mishnah Shas refers to Bikurim. It's a pasuk in the Torah. I don't know what the pasuk is offhand. I don't know the exact pasuk, but I think it's in Chumash Devarim, where the pasuk lists all the different things Hashem gives you, and it says Utrumas Yodicha. Okay, you have to do. I've got it with the pasuk. Look up the concordance. Utrumas Yodicha. Rashi in Chazal Gemara. Eilu Habikurim. It's a famous Chazal. When it says the word Truma in the Torah many times, it means Bikurim, the first fruits. The word Truma is used in Chumash to refer also or sometimes specifically to Bikurim. Now, let's go further. According to most opinions, according to all opinions, when the Kohanim eat Truma, it's not theirs. They don't own it. Maybe they do own it. Different opinions. It's Mishulchan Govoa Kazok. They're eating Truma. It's from Hashem's table. They're not 100% in control. Bikurim is the property, 100% the property of the Kohen. The Kohen can marry a woman with Bikurim. When the Kohen gets Bikurim, he gets the first fruits, he gets the grapes, he gets clusters, olives, figs, dates. He is the owner, he owns it 100%, he can use it to be Mekadesh Nisha. A Kohen cannot be Mekadesh Nisha with Truma. And this, therefore, the Mefarshim take note of the first Mishnah. Why did the Mishnah say, B'shash Shachayim Nechlesem Le'echol Bitruma Son? It should say, B'shash Shachayim Nechlesem Le'echol Bitruma. Why did it say, Bitruma Son? Possess their Truma. So the answer is, Truma Son. Truma Son means Bikurim. Unbelievable. And indeed, that's halacha. Kohanim, they receive the truma, the bikurim from the Yisraelim, as kedusha. They're not allowed to bikurim until they go to mikvah and until there is harav shemesh. So the first mishnah in Masechta Brachos, the first mishnah of Apes, telling us that the zman where kohanim are allowed to, with the zman when you recite kriya shma shel arvis, is the same time when kohanim are allowed to eat bikurim. Truma's son. Yes, absolutely. And hey, there's a lot more to this. If you want to see a whole Dvar Torah on this, there's a very popular sefer, a series of sefer called Daf Al Hadaf. I'm sure it's blue. It's a big sefer. They put out. They haven't missed one Masechta yet. It's done by three people, one person. It's a liquid of Mefarshim. It's a beautiful, beautiful series of Svarim. We did the entire Shas. He only has one more to go. Nida is the only one he didn't put out yet. He goes with the Daf Yomi. And there in Masechta Brachos, the first volume, he has there a ganz shtickel Torah on this idea, and he answers many kashas. There are many difficulties in the first Mishnah Shas. I don't remember them. There are a lot of problems. When you use this Yisoid, that when it says in the Mishnah, Meshach, Shachem Echlef Nechel Bitru Masim, refers to Bikurim, and not regular Truma, it answers all the kashas. Okay, right now I'll just tell you one little snippet is that it's why did it say Truma Son and not Truma? The answer is because Bikurim is the property of the Kohanim. Truma is not the property of the Kohanim. There's limitations. And when therefore it's appropriate to use the word Truma Son only with regard to Bikurim and not in regard to regular Truma.
What's the limitations on regular Truma?
Regular, you cannot marry a woman. You're not allowed, it's not your property. You can't use it to get married. When it comes to getting married, you have to own the tabas, you have to own the kesef that you give a woman. So truma you do not own. The kohen does not have a right to marry a woman by giving a woman a piece of truma. A kohen can marry a woman by giving her the bikum that he has received. So the word Truma son is a much better word when it comes to Bikurim than when it comes to, in contrast to Truma.
How did you relate this to the
Haggadah? Oh, I am getting there, there. Now, as I told you, this is more of a verb by itself than this, but it fits very well to the Haggadah as well. Now, what is the Limud Musar, the Ayin Pan Matar, why did Chazal, the Anshe, why did Rabbeinu HaKadosh, the first Mishnah of Torah Shabbat Peh, tell us this very fascinating idea? When do you recite Kriya Shema Shel Arvis? Kriya Shema Shel Arvis is recited, it's linked to the Zman of eating Bikurim. What is Kriya Shema Shel Arvis? This Kriya Shema Shel Shachar is Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. In Haggadah we have Rabbi Seinu, Higia Zman Kriya Shema Shel Shachar. What is Arvis? Arvis is Golos. It's Golos. The Nusach HaTzilah we discussed yesterday, Nusach HaTzilah of Ma'ariv, this is Aleph Beis, this is not Kabbal, this is Aleph Beis, that the Nusach HaTzilah of Ma'ariv is all about Emunah, Golos, the dark times. Laila is dark, Golos, Tzaris, difficulty. Where is Hashem? The Anochi Haster Aster Ponai. Difficulty. Yoim is Geula, redemption, revelation. Hashem is here. We see the Yad Hashem. Zekil Yanveyu. The Nusach of Ma'ariv is all about Emes ve'emuna. Shachris is Emes ve'yatsif. Kriya Shema Shel Arvis means you say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Emuna. Right now, is Hashem Echad? Is Hashem one over the entire? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Emuna, Emes ve'emuna, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem is Hashem Echad. Kriya Shema Shel Shacharis, Hashem Echad. Pashut, the world has come to the Geula. The whole world sees. V'hoya Hashem leMelech al kol haaretz. Bayomahu yeh Hashem Echad Hashem Echad. We're holding Bayomahu. Shacharis, we're holding ready by Bayomahu. That's the theme of Shacharis. But Ma'ariv, no. Ma'ariv is dark. It's emuna, emes emuna. Kriya Shema Shel Arvis is an expression of emuna. You don't see the faith of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In our history, Jewish history, where was there ever a time of geula, the ultimate geula? It's Bikurim. What is Bikurim? What do you say in Bikurim? We were slaves. Our forefathers worshipped Avodah Zarah. Okay, we did Avodah Zarah. We were really bad news. Avodah, we were bad shape. And then things got a little better. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, who was Golas, Mitzrayim, we came out, we went, miracles, Gevalt, what went on, went through the middle of 40 years, who knows what happened. We came into Eretz Yisrael, Gevalt, 14 years, wars, Tsaris, Shiloh, Polishtim, what went on, until finally David, all the Tsaris that David had, all the wars, Shlomo HaMelech, finally, he built the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaBechira, Beis HaMikdash, and now Ish Tachas Gafnoi, Tachas Te'enoi, finally the farmer comes to the Beis HaMikdash. There's a Mizbeach, the basket, you put the basket down. V'yinachnu lefnei Hashem Elokecha, v'yonisa v'yamarta, you make a statement, Ribono Shel Olam, you kept your word, you did it. You did it. You took us out of Egypt. You took us from a nothing to be the center of the world. The Beis Hamikdash, Beis Habechira, the Beis Hamikdash. Here are the fruits. A makir toif to the Beis Shalom. You have been true to your word. Maybe they did, but even if they did, it was not the full fulfillment of Bikurim. The full fulfillment of Bikurim is the Beis Habechira. Makmash l'shukna sishu v'asa shama. That's the full. Okay, it could be. Maybe they did. Maybe they, I do. I don't know. But the full kiyum is the Beis Hamikdash. So the Menela, and that's when you say the Pesukim Arami Oyvav. It's the Menela Yav. So here, this is an unbelievable word. I'm going to. You have to develop this. I'm giving you the Chaymer, but it's powerful Chaymer. Me'emosai koyin kriyas shma shel arvis. When do you recite arvis? Kriya Shema Shel Arvis means to express faith in the most difficult times. Night time is darkness. Aster Panai. And you're going to say, no, it's dark. I don't see the Yad Hashem. Nevertheless, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. When? You have to look. You have to focus on Bikurim. Because Bikurim is the end game. Bikurim is when everything comes to fruition, when the plan comes to fulfillment, when you come into Eretz Yisrael, you build the Beis HaMikdash, you're living on your land, you have Parnasa, you have Ish Tachas, Gav Tachas, and you bring the fruits of Kadosh Baruch Hu. And what does that mean? It could mean one of many things. Either it means you have to focus, you have to have emuna in Bikurim, you have to express yourself, you have to have emuna at night in the dark times that the one day will be a Geula, you have to have that faith. You have to, and the way you have that faith, you have to have faith in the Torah. The Torah tells you that there's a mitzvah of Bikurim. The time will come for Geula, and the ultimate Geula is expressed in Bikurim. Or what it means is that, let's say now, currently, 2012, Tav Shin Ayin Beis, we're in Golus. Will the Golus ever end? What's going on? Where are we going? Where are we heading? It's not going anywhere. You have to look back. Just like there was a Bikurim, history repeats itself. There are patterns. This is what you're learning in Yeshaya. History is a pattern. Patterns and patterns and patterns. Just like there was Tsaris and Mitzrayim, there was Golus, there was Sheba, there were terrible things. But yet, there was a Geula. You have to look back and be inspired from Bikurim.
The lashon of the Mishnah, though, would be, I would understand your drush. If it's a name is Sankar, it's Kriyashma Shal Shachris, Shasha Kahana.
No, not Shachris. It's no big deal. To say Kriyashma Shachris is no big deal.
I'm trying to mentally make the leap.
Where are you going to derive the inspiration to have a Muna to say Kriya Shema in the dark times? It's dark outside. The Yad Hashem is hidden. It's dark. You now have to say...
learn the word Be'emasai.
From when? From where? Or Me'emasai loosely translate from where. Okay, it's not what it means, but...
Me'emasai
means when.
Kriya Shema Shel Arvis in the Lashon of the Mishnah...
Me'emasai current Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. When do you recite Kriya Shema Shel Arvis? When? B'shosh Shakehazim, by taking inspiration. You can't necessarily translate the words literally.
Oh, now you're adding.
Yeah, that's right. I made it into I'm not embarrassed to say it's symbolic. Forget about the words. The words is not. The Mishnah is teaching you halacha. But look at the theme of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is linking. Forget about the words. We don't need to translate the words alone. The halach is the zman. When you recite Kriya Shema at night, it's a halachic Mishnah at this point in time. But look at the theme. The theme is we are linking Kriya Shema Shel Arvis to Bikurim. That's a theme. Is that not so?
Yeah.
That's a theme. Forget about the literal translation of the words. Put that aside. This is a clear theme. What is the significance of this theme? The significance is, if you want, again, it's chomer. You can interpret this many ways, but I'm just giving you one approach. If you currently in Golus and you need inspiration that the one that will be Geula, look back. Look at Bikurim. Unbelievable what happened. Bikurim was a time, was the full fulfillment of Hashem's promise to Avraham Avinu. You're going to be in Golus, there's going to be a Geula, there will be some Migdash, and you'll live in Eretz Yisrael. And you'll have Parnassah. Unbelievable. That's a bigger miracle to have Parnassah. You have Parnassah, and you'll be able to give, to bring the surplus, the first fruits, to the Beis HaMikdash. You have vacation time also. You'll come and you'll put it in a basket in front of the Mizbeach and give a Shevach Adit Kosh Baruch. Amazing! Hashem was true to His word. He was true to His word. The same way He was true then, He'll be true to you now. Just follow the Torah of Yehoyim Shemaya Tishmu, He'll be true to your word. What is the Seder? The Seder is part of that pattern. We're in Golos. It's all part of the same pattern. What is the theme of the Seder?
You told us
that yesterday, the Shana Babishmai. In Achnami, the Shana Bab, we have the Muna. Yeah. Amuna. What are we doing by the Seder? The whole Seder is really Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. That's what it is. What does it say? Say on the say, the whole saying is emunah. That's what we are. We have faith in Hakadosh Baruch Hu. We believe in Hakadosh Baruch Hu. We have ma'aminim, b'nei ma'aminim. It's Arvis. It's night, right? The Seder is at night, and we're focusing on the moror, on the matz, and the lechem oni. We're focusing on Golus. The Golus is a pattern that repeats itself. The whole Seder is an expression of Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. And that's why in the Haggadah, Rabbi Akiva B'nai Brak, they told him, you finished the Haggadah because now it's Kriya Shema Shel Shacharis. So forget about Tzibah Yitzir. The whole Haggadah is in the framework, there's Arvis and there's Shacharis. When you finish Arvis, you come to Shacharis. That's the proof of the pudding. It's since they told him, enough! Adkan. Why Adkan? Because you've crossed the line. Now we're holding by Kriya Shema Shel Shacharis. The Seder is Kriya Shema Shel Arvis.
That's the hope at that point.
That's what you're doing by the Seder.
Up to there, up to that Maisha with the...
No, there's just something that... No,
it's Arvis, and then from now...
No, that's not what I mean to say. I just mean that as an example. Yeah, I mean that as an example that this is we find that the Talmud Torah Be'akiva, Be'akiva stop expounding about the Haggadah, because now that's just a gilui of what the whole Seder is all about.
Agreed.
No. What?
No, I agree, but are you saying that?
No, I'm not saying that. No, that's not what I'm saying.
You have to extend it.
I don't want to go that way. No. So the whole Seder is an expression of Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. Beautiful idea. Now go to the first Mishnah. Go to the first Mishnah in Masechta Brachos. Me'emusai Karim Kriya Shema Shel Shacharis Shel Arvis. Where do you draw the inspiration? You draw the inspiration. What is Chumasan? Chumas Yadcha Elu Habikurim. The bulk of the Haggadah is the Parsha of Bikurim. Because if you want to derive inspiration to get out of this Golas, look back to the Bikurim, just like Bikurim represents the theme of the Shvarach, was true to his word. He took us out of Golas, everything came to a full fulfillment of Hashem's promise and brachas. That is the inspiration to get out of the skulls. This, the Seder, is exactly what you're doing by the Seder, is you're fulfilling the theme of the first Mishnah in Masechta Brachos. You're darshaning about the Bikurim within the framework of Me'emosai Korin Shema Be'arvis. Got it? This is a powerful idea.
No, you said it at the beginning.
So the idea of Kriya Shema, that Me'emosai Korin Kriya Shema Shel Arvis B'Shosh Nechnas Lachem B'Trumasim, that's in the Sefer. I don't remember who says that's in the Sefer there of Daf Al Hadaf.
He brings us
that. He explains the Mishnah. Trumas, and he asks many questions on the Pshat of the Mishnah. He asks many questions on the Pshat of the Mishnah.
That means Trumas Yad.
Truly right. It means Bikurim.
Does he bring also the Rishi?
No.
Where did that come from? That's your own.
Yours truly.
He seems wrong.
What?
The earliest time for the Kohanim is only a fair tongue. Right.
Of course, right. That's the pshat according to everyone. Even if it means chuma mamish, if the kohen matar, you can eat chuma the whole day.
Right.
Of course, they're tamei. They go to mikvah. They have a hair of shemesh. But the question: what does it mean chumasa? But look deeper in the Mishnah. Besides the halachic teaching of the Mishnah, the Mishnah is teaching a beautiful theme: the inspiration for Kriya Shema Shel Arvis is derived from Bikurim. These two are the two extremes. They're the two extremes, and it perfectly fits into the theme of the Haggadah. Okay, now I want to go to the idea. Now, this I say for you. I knew you were going to be here yesterday, Rabbi Miller, and therefore I what? And therefore I saved it for. Come to Kol your rabbi. And if I saved it today for you, and I even made a photocopy for you, because this you're going to like. Okay? I want to talk about the Chagaya again. Okay, another one on the Chagaya. Another one on the Chagaya.
I have two. I've pieced my last pieces on Chagaya.
Oh, I have to read your book.
Okay.
Two ideas. So the own ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Your own ideas.
No, I found.
What'd you find? Just tell me the names of the song.
Two 20th century Chagayas.
Okay, so maybe you already know this. So could be what I'm going to say you already know.
Depends who's Haggadah.
I've seen this idea in many forms, but this, the way it's presented here is takes the cake. So I mean, you probably know a variation of this. Okay.
Not necessarily.
Okay, Okay, very interesting. Now, with the point of this I have here. This I have from Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, everyone knows, the disciple of son, Goin HaTorah. And there are many svarim that are put out. He wrote many of his own svarim, and a lot of people like to have conversations with him. And whatever he says, they make a business. They put it into a whole sefer called Derech Sicha. So this is called someone had a conversation with him and asked him many questions over a period of time, and collected from all of his svarim, put together a Haggadah. Haggadah. He didn't even write Haggadah. Someone just collected from his svarim and asked him questions, and they made it into Haggadah, and they called it Siach HaPesach. And at the very end, they have a very, I think it's a very impressive approach to the Chagaya, and it's more than the Chagaya. It really explains a lot about Golos, the Dalet Malchios. Okay, I'm thinking Rabbi Miller for sure. Rabbi Miller knows, he wrote a safe on Dalet Malchios. He's a Baki Muflug in this matter, so I have to ask this just before I begin to talk about these Rionim. Okay, but this is no, but they must be overlap. There's no questions overlap. But let's review just very big kits. I'm not going to go through the details. And I have this for you. All the sources, million sources. So everything he says is on mark. And the point is, let's review the Chagaya. We discussed yesterday. There are 10 parts to the Chagaya. There's the beginning and the end, and there's the middle. The beginning and the end is the Gadya, the Chad Gadya. The Zabin Abba betrays with the Chad Gadya. That's the very beginning. And the very end is HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes along and he puts it into the Malcham Abbas. In the middle, there are 8 parts. Right? What are the 8 parts? There is the Shunra, there is the cat, and there is the dog, and there is the chutra, the rod, and there is the fire, and then there is the water, and then there is the axe, the sheichet, and the Malcham Abbas. Right? Did I get all 8? I think I got all 8. Okay, so now we know that there are a tradition, and there are psukim and midrashim and you name it. There are 4 goals. We're learning Yeshaya, so you have to know this. Got to be fluent in this because this repeats itself over and over in the Medivah Achrayim. You got to really know this inside out. First comes Bavel, who destroyed the Bayis Rishon, Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar is Melech Bavel. Who destroyed Nebuchadnezzar 70 years later? Madai. First came Madai. Madai was the real one who did him in. Madai. And then there was an alliance between Madai and Paras. And after Madai was the king, the governors and kings, they alternated. Who became the next king? Paras. So it was Madai or Paras. We for some reason call Paras because the Megillah, so we always call it, but really, more accurately, it's really Madai Paras, not Paras Madai. Maybe there's, I'm sure there's more to it.
Because they're interchangeable.
They alternated with the kings and the governors. If we got a king from us, a governor from you, a governor from you, so they alternate. So it started off first where the king was from Madai, and the governor was from Paras, and then they switched. But the one that conquered Nebuchadnezzar was Madai. That's really the way it was. But now who came next? Well, we call Yavon. After they lasted for a short period of time. They only lasted for 50-something years. I don't remember the numbers. 50-something years was Malchus, the whole Malchus of Madai and Paras. Madai was very short. Madai, and then Paras was unfaithful. Paras was supposed to alternate. They never gave it back. Once Madai became king, Paras became king, there were 3 kings from Paras. They never gave the Malchus back, kept their part of the deal to give the Malchus back to Madai. Madai was the king. And then Paras, Koresh became king, and Persians never gave the Malchus back to Madai. They were not faithful. That's what Rav Chaim Kanievsky says. Unbelievable. Fine. So then what happened after this period of time for 50, whatever years it was, and they came to an end. Who conquered them? Yavon, Greece, the miracle of Chanukah. That lasted for how long? I don't know. For a long time. A couple of hundred years, whatever it was. It lasted for a nice amount of time. Whatever it was, I don't know. What?
What is it? 180 something.
Okay, whatever. I don't know. And then came the Romans. Then came the Romans, which we call Edom. Okay, 4: Bavel, number 1; Paras Madai, number 2; Yavon, 3; and then is Edom. Yes, a child. This way we've been taught. This way we've been wired, and rightfully so. Therefore. Chaim Kanievsky says, this is a pasuk, this is a medrash, and it's quoted, it's a Rashi and Zachari, it's all over the place. Lamnatseach al Hashminis. See? Rabbi Miller is smiling, he knows it's inside out. The 8. What?
It's in here.
Al Ashminis, there are eight nations that conquer the Jewish people. Eight nations. So what are the eight nations? So basically, and it's called in Rashi, there's Bavel, the Kasdim. I'll explain, in other words, Bavel and the Kasdim, we more or less interchange. They're all the same. The Babylonians are part, what is the chilek between Bavel and the Kasdim? One is the lower class, the upper class. What, it's all the same. Basically, Ruba de Ruba doesn't make a difference. You can interchange one with the other. Bavel and the Kasdim are really one and the same. Okay? Then there is, like you say, Britain and the UK, right? United Kingdom and Britain. I don't know, I'm sure there's a difference, but it's all, right?
Scotland and Wales.
Other things included, okay. So it's just a term which is all one and the same. Now we have Mode Paras, okay. Mode Paras. Yavon is really another part to Yavon. Mukden, how do you pronounce it? Mukden? Or Mokdon? Two columns? Mokdon? Mokdon. Mokdon. Two columns.
Because his Alexander's father was Philip Alexander. Macedonia.
But in Hebrew, how do you pronounce it? Mokdon? Mokdon. Not Mokdon. Both two columns.
Yeah.
Mokdon. Mokdon was also a nation that's not the same as Yavon, Greece. They're different. Just like we'll see. Then comes Yishmael. But let me... Edom. But today, there's another... Today, we're really in Golas, the Mepharshim say Golas Yishmael. What is the proof of Golas Yishmael? What is the proof? The mask! The holiest place in the world! What is sitting on the holiest place in the world? The mask! Isn't that not a statement from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we are in Golas Yishmael? It's not a church on top of the Kodesh HaKadosh. It's a mask! We're in Golas Yishmael. I need to elaborate. The threat of the world today comes from Yishmael. The United States spends trillions of dollars in the defense to protect us from Yishmael. Right? This is, the world is afraid of Yishmael, the world. Fine. So this is Yishmael. So we're dealing over here, they really ate. Now let me explain a little more detail. The little deal is that Nebuchadnezzar was not a native Babylonian. Nebuchadnezzar, according to the Medrash, I'm not going to go through the little deal, I'll give you the story so later on. You have the whole thing over here. Nebuchadnezzar was really a child of Chiro Melech Tzar. Nebuchadnezzar was not a native Babylonian. He did not live. He lived in Tzor, Tyre, like we learned in Yeshaya, that Perek about Tzor. And his father was Chiron. Unbelievable. Somehow he got in with, you know, United States to the president. You have to be a citizen. Obama was born in the United States, right? What? I got it right here. I got everything. That's why I brought it to you. I knew you're gonna challenge me. I had everything over here. It's amazing how many sources there are in this one page. What he has over here on one page. But Bavel was Chiram Melech Tsar. This is Vayikra Rabbah. Okay, this is very basic. This is not esoteric. This is mainstream Medrash. Vayikra Rabbah Perik Yudches, that Chiram Melech Tsar, he was a son of Chiram Melech Tsar. He wasn't a native. However, he married, and some say it was Malchus Sheva, okay, Malchus Sheba, queen, Malchus, wherever that is, we don't even know where Malchus Sheva is in the world, we're not so sure, and that's in the Oitzah HaMadrash, that's more esoteric, that's not already for Pashit, and some say another interpretation was Sancheiris, so Ashur, he was a native to Ashur, not to Babel, so he's a foreigner, he was not born in the country, 96, he would not even be able to be president, he was not a citizen, not a birth certificate, for real, what?
And we learned that in Yeshaya that he, I think it's Rashi, he fought with Sancheirib, he's one of the survivors.
Yeah, he was a general. He was a general for Sancheirib. But it could be that he was a native. And you would not, for these Midrashim, you would think that he was a citizen. That was an alliance of many nations that fought under Nebuchadnezzar, that fought under Melech Asher. But here, these Midrashim make it very clear that he was not a citizen of Babel. He was a foreigner. And somehow he penetrated government, and he was able to become king. Like, just like we have, he was able to become king. Unbelievable! And he became the king of Bavel. Who did he marry to reinforce his malchus? He married the wife of John Batchelor.
The mother,
a Chaldean. Okay, he married a Chaldean, a Kazdi, and that's why. And it appears as a fascinating to itself that if you have a mixed marriage, two nationalities, the child follows the mother's nationality. Fascinating. And if Evel Meroidach, and Belshazzar and Vashti were considered to be Chaldeans, Kastim. And that's why Nebuchadnezzar did not want Evil-Merodach to be the king after, because that would be a king from the Kastim, a Kasti. And he wanted to preserve the Malchus, the legacy to continue from Bavel. That's why he locked up his son in jail. Evil-Merodach was not meant to, but yet Evil-Merodach, after Nebuchadnezzar died, the people wanted Evil-Merodach to become king, which means that the Kasdim took over. And after Evil-Merodach came Balshetz, and then came Vashti, and they were the Kasdim. And then it was conquered by who? By Modai. And then Modai gave it over to Koresh. So that's already four kings. Bavel was Nebuchadnezzar. It then went to his son, Evil-Merodach, which was a Kasti, because the wife, the mother, was a Kasti. And then it went to, in all the sources, you can see in Siach HaPesach, and then it went to Modai, conquered from the Kastim, from Belshazzar, and then it was given over, part of the arrangement was given over to Paras. And who conquered? Who was the first king of Yavon? It wasn't Yavon. The first king was Alexander Mokdon. The first king, Yavon, was not the first king. It was Alexander Mokdon. It wasn't really, we called Yavon because we're familiar with the miracle of Hanukkah, which occurred later at the time. But it was Mokdon. How do you say Mokdon in English?
Macedonia.
Macedon. And that's not Greece. That was considered a different nation. Different nation, independent nation, independent from Greece. And then when he died, there was a big fight. What happened when Alexander Mokdon died, but it was taken over, the world power shifted to Yavon, to Greece. Okay, all the sources are over here. I'm the Yosef, and he has everything in the Midrashim, Psukim and Tanakh. It's incredible what he has over here. Okay, Uve Moisai, Alexander Moikdon, Hoya Hamel Harishain. Uve Moisai, Nischalka Malucha Li Arba, four people took over in Daniel, he brings in Daniel and Yosefin, Josephus, and okay, fine. Then what happened? Then eventually the Romans prevailed, right? The Caesars, the Romans, and then after them, today, at some point in time during exactly where the shift occurred, during the Crusades, before the Crusades, exactly when, the Romans lost their power on the world, and now we're under the influence of Yishmael. Eight different nations. Babel, the Kasdim.
The eight middle people.
Oh, those are the eight. And he brings everything. I'll just tell you, but there I'll just tell you, the kits and nimrus, you have to do the Makaros.
But who's the kind of God in Israel?
What?
Who's the
Chagad? Chagad is Klai Yisrael. Se Pizura Yisrael. Okay, it's a little complex, all the psukim, and he has Targumim. I mean, it's Bekias. It's mind-boggling. He quotes Targum, and he quotes Medrash, and Talmud, and you name it, to show that each of these things refers specifically to each nation. The first one comes, the Se Pizura, that's what everyone agrees, Se Pizura Yisrael is the Chagad. And then comes the dog, I'm sorry, the cat. The cat is the Shunra. We learned that. The Eim. Yeshayi, Perek Yudgimel, when we learned about Bavel, it calls them the cats. The Eim, the tigers. And the Targum translates as a chasul, a cat. And that refers, that's a Nevuah in reference to Bavel. Bavel, Nebuchadnezzar, is going to come and destroy the Beis HaMikdash, and talks about that the cats are going to roar in the palaces or in the ruins, the Eim. And the Eim is translated as a cat. So in the Pasuk, it's very clear from time, it's very clear that Bavel is compared to a cat. And then comes the dog. The dog is the Kasdim, because Belshazzar, in one of the Midrashim, is called a dog, because Belshazzar went and he did something there. There's a Midrash that calls Belshazzar, who is a Kasdi, a dog. And then comes the Chutra. The Chutra is Modai, a Pasuk. The Pasuk says that a staff, Modai, will come with a stick and bang and knock out Belshazzar, the staff. And then comes the fire. The fire is Vachamosovo Aravo. The Persians were very angry people. They had a lot of kas. The kas is called Chema. Chema is heat, anger. Chema is Chama. The sun is fire. And after came the Persians, come Alexander Mokdom. And there's a message that says he washed his face from the waters of Gan Eden. Whatever that means. Okay, he brings it down. So we find an association of water with Alexander Mokdom. And then comes Yavon. Yavon is the ox. Kislu lechem al keren hashar. Okay, that's very similar. Everyone likes that one. Everyone does that. That's Yavon. And after Yavon comes Edom, is the Sheikhet. is the Sheikhate. The Romans were the brutality, and that's Pasha, and the brutality, the Sar Hatabachim, the Baisheni, he has the Makaris, they call the Sheikhate, he has more Makaris for that. And then comes Yishmael, and Yishmael, unfortunately, we all know too well, is the Malach HaMavis. They have no fear of death. I mean, that they suicide bombers, Rahman al Tzlan. Rahman al Tzlan, and there's never been a time in history where the world on such a large scale, I mean, they've always been suicide bombers, Thomas Nafshi and Plishtim, but Rahman al Tzlan on such a large scale, such fear is unique to Yishmael, the Malach HaMavis. So these are the eight nations. Now, what do I want to say with this? It's a very powerful yisod. It's that the Chagag is still telling us. Yes, the average person. No, there are four Golios. Okay, there are four Golios, or there are eight Golios.
It's not the average person that knows.
There are four. There are eight. Okay, so right now we're in Golos Yishmael. Okay, Golos Yishmael. Golos Yishmael now is. That means we have now Yishmael, and we don't have Edom, and we don't have to worry about Modai and Paras. Bavel and the Kazdim. Who ever heard of the Kazdim? Who ever heard of this? No one heard of it. Only he knows because he listens to John Bashler, so he knows about the Kazdim. Whoever knows about these things. So the end, it's not the Pshat. You look in the Chagadya. The Chagadya, when we begin, first comes Bavel. No, Bavel. Bavel's a cat. Okay, very good. A cat, stray cat, comes along and bites the Gadya. Then comes the dog. The dog bites the cat, it kills the cat. Which cat did the dog kill?
Does it say kills the cat?
No, the dog bites the cat, so bites the cat. Nosha bites. Okay, but Pasha, you're right, it's a good point. We discussed that yesterday. Consumes the cat. Which cat did the dog bite? Stam, a cat. Cat roaming around the street, a stray cat? No. The cat's a meyuchas. It's the cat, that's the chagaya. The osa kalma, the noshach l'shunra, De ochal gadia. There's a whole sequence. We repeat it. The dog didn't just bite a cat; it bit the cat that ate the gadia. In other words, the dog is koilel within it, includes within it the cat. It's not just you're dealing with a new galus. There's a new power, there's a new authority in town, a new president. There's a new president. Oh, his policies are completely different. He's an independent man. No. The new tyrant on the block is Koilel, incorporates within him the wickedness, the trouble, the problems of his predecessor. And then it gets worse. Then we go to the stick. And the stick is Modai. It's not just a Modai. It's a Modai. The dominant characteristic is Modai. But it's a Modai that incorporates within him the Castian and the Babylonians. And then you go further. When we're living today with Yishmael, we're in Golos Yishmael. So what's the, Yishmael. Who is Yishmael? Simple. V'hu yihyeh pera adam, yada ba'kol v'yad kol bo. Right? So how do we deal with Yishmael? Let's open up the Torah. The Torah might have a similar bond and we'll figure out how to deal with Yishmael. That's not the pshat. We're not dealing today, in modern times, Tavshin, Hei Alofim, Tavshin, Ayin Beis, with Yishmael of the Torah. The Yishmael of the Torah was Yishmael and Yishmael and Yishmael. That's it. Zehu. One person, one man, one nation. The Yishmael of Zman HaZeh is the Osam Al-Chamavis, the Shach Al-Sheichet, the Shach Al-Torah, the Shosel Maya, the Kavol Lenora. And then the Yishmael today is an extremely complex person, nation, Golos, because it's Koilel within all of the characteristics of the other nationalities, the other Golios until now. That is what the Chagag is teaching us. When you ask the average person, there are four Golios, or there are eight Golios. Each one is separate. There's no cumulative Golos. I told you with the Yayin, the Varn, the Yayin. Yayin is cumulative. Each cup of wine enhances, it's a build-up. This is Golos. This is what the Chagad is teaching us. There are 8 different Golios, but the Chagad, the fact that we repeat, we go through the whole Chagad, we repeat this entire expression, there's a lesson. It's not just time, oh, it's cute, it's fun, it's a song, you hear the words. It's telling you, Yishmael, the Malach HaMavis. You know who this Malach HaMavis is? Not just Stam Malach HaMavis.
It's the character of Yishmael adopting the technology of Edom.
Exactly. The technology of Edom and the midos of this one and that one. This there's no precedent for. We don't know. The dominant feature, what's dominant? Is Yishmael. Yodav HaKol V'Yad Kol Bo. That's the dominant feature. But that's not it. There's more under the hood. And that's what is so dangerous. The Golus today is a million times more complex than the Golus of Bavel. Bavel conquered the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, we dealt with a conqueror. It was one, know your enemy. We know who we're dealing with. There's a Tzara, Gefer Lecha Tzara, we're dealing with the Tzara. But today we're dealing with Yishmael, okay, we can deal with it. But to compound all of these together, where everything is nichol, this is extremely complex. Okay, so this is a beautiful approach to the Chagadya. All you have to remember is there are 10 parts of the Chagadya. You start with Klal Yisrael, Eirun HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the middle there is 8. Lamatzech al Hashminis, there are 8. Tzeferes HaChazal, Tzeferes HaPasik, there's a Zechariah, there is 8. What do you mean 8? Don't you ask the average kid on the street, they'll tell you there are 4. 4 which are 8. Bavel is broken up into Bavel Kastim. There's Modei Aparas. There is Yavon is preceded by Mokdon. And today, there's Golos Edom, right? Who doesn't know that we're living in Golos Edom? It's not as Golos Edom. It's Golos Edom, / Yishmael. There's 8. These 8 are the 8 different objects, different items in the Chagadya. And the Musar to learn from the Chagadya, you're not just stamanais. It's teaching you a moiridika yisoid. It's teaching you the cumulative effect of Golos. It's not isolated conquerors. Powerful idea. And that's the Yayin. The Yayin is a cumulative effect of drinking the Yayin. Okay, we'll stop here. Mitzvah tomorrow. One more session on the Haggadah.